one of the dangers of live stage performance is you really never know what's going to happen. My favorite story about skipping around in the text of a play is from a play called Blithe Spirit. If you're not familiar with the show, there are movies available, and this is a play which is produced in local theaters frequently. The basic story is about a man who's haunted by his first wife, while his second wife can't hear what's going on. Mix in a seance, a mystic, an older couple, and a maid, you have the plot. As the haunting goes on, there are mix-ups and some really hilarious dialogue, especially when the husband is talking to the first wife while the second wife thinks he's talking to her. Usually in a play, there's plenty of exposition at the beginning to get everyone on the same page. Well, I've even noticed that in most shows, there's a significant part of the beginning which is really unnecessary. Even Shakespeare begins his plays with some throwaway scenes and characters. So why would this be? Well, I do have a theory. I don't think the audiences in Shakespeare's day were all that different than today's audiences. One common problem with an audience in every theater that I've acted in is latecomers. I've probably acted in 20 or 30 different venues, and every show there are 5 or 10 people who are late. So what does a playwright do? Well, you make the beginning unnecessary for the rest of the show. Well, think about Hamlet. There's a scene with the ghost of Hamlet's father. There's a couple of guards. They decide to tell Hamlet. And a couple of scenes later, we're back with the ghost. It's the same with Blithe Spirit. My character and the girl playing my wife ask a bunch of questions, which the husband answers. We are to discuss what's coming up later in the show and give the background about the two wives and the husband. I was standing on stage with the male lead and the girl playing my wife. She looks at me and has that deer in headlights kind of look and skips 7 pages of the script. I knew what was happening. The woman who was to make the next entrance, which wasn't supposed to happen for 7 more pages, heard her cue. You could hear her backstage galloping to her entrance from the back corner of backstage. And since the actress who usually plays this part is, how can I say this diplomatically, supposed to be a larger actress, I could hear her running as fast as her short legs could carry her. The audience was treated to a ferocious pounding backstage, but they had no clue why. I had the most stage experience of the three of us, and both of the other actors on stage looked at me with that funny look, a strange, helpless look that told me that I was in charge. They really had no clue what to do, so I did my best to get us back to the details we'd just skipped. Of course, the audience had no idea what had just happened, but it made it look like I had just forgotten my lines. I struggled to get the other actors back on track, and every minute or so, I had to initiate another section to remind them where we were going. So after a torturous 10 minutes or so, which seemed like an hour, we arrived back at the point where we'd begun. The proper cue was given again, and the entrance was made at the right time. And I think this is one of the great benefits of being an actor, doing live theater. Think about it this way. If you can deal with that kind of pressure on a stage with hundreds of people watching you, do you really think someone can walk up from the street and surprise you? I teach high school students, and I have some who try their best to catch me off guard with some strange statement. And all it makes me do is quickly respond with a perfect comeback. And most of my students know not to challenge my superiority in the quick response, which turns the table. I've actually accused some people of being the best foil or straight man I could ever want, since most of what they say seems to be a setup for a joke. Well, here's a lame example. Someone will say to me, "Did you get a haircut?" And I will respond, "Nope, I got them all cut. It's more economical." I know it's not clever. It's what my daughter calls dad humor. Here's a better one. When someone asks me if they can go to the bathroom, I tell them, "I don't know. Go find out." They usually can, but I don't really want to know about it. Some of my students have since then learned to ask if they may go to the bathroom. But you know, some people really never learn.